Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Acts chapter 25, and Felix was running the territory around Caesarea where Paul was in prison, and he kept Paul there, but Felix is now being replaced by a new emperor for that region called Festus, and now Paul is going to have to kind of repeat this case before Festus. So verse 1, Festus then, having arrived in the province 3 days later, went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea. Now remember, Paul's in Caesarea, but Festus is going to go down to Jerusalem and hear what people have to say about Paul. And the chief priests and the leading men of the Jews brought charges against Paul, and they were urging him, requesting a concession against Paul, that he might have him brought to Jerusalem. They want him to be tried in Jerusalem, and it says here that at the same time, setting an ambush to kill him on the way. They had that plan prior, and they still would like to see him dead. Festus then answered that Paul was being kept in custody at Caesarea, and that he himself was about to leave shortly. Therefore, he said, "Let the influential men among you go there with me, and if there is anything wrong about the man, let them prosecute him." After he had spent not more than 8 or 10 days among them, he went down to Caesarea, and on the next day he took his seat on the tribunal and ordered Paul to be brought. After Paul arrived, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him, bringing many and serious charges against him, which they could not prove. While Paul said in his own defense, "I have committed no offense either against the law of the Jews or against the temple or against Caesar." But Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, "Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and stand trial before me on these charges?" But Paul said, "I am standing before Caesar's tribunal, where I ought to be tried. I have done no wrong to the Jews, as you also very well know. If, then, I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything worthy of death, I do not refuse to die. But if none of those things is true of which these men accuse me, no one can hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar." Then Festus had conferred with his council and answered, "You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go." You know, this is really a story, a time in biblical history where we really see God's sovereign rule taking place, meaning God is orchestrating who the leaders are and when Paul is going to make it to Rome. You might recall that Paul felt led to go to Jerusalem, and he knew he was going to be persecuted there, and prophets had even warned him that he was going to be persecuted there, and indeed that's exactly what happened almost immediately. But he knew that he had a plan to get to Rome, or that God wanted him to get to Rome, and this is all happening, and indeed it's going to set up a situation where they're going to send him to Caesar in Rome. And I just think it's remarkable, all the events taking place leading to where Paul is going to be headed. And, you know, that's interesting, right? Because I do believe that there are times in our lives where we see God orchestrate our lives, and we see things happen in such a way that you can tell God is planning or unveiling his plan. And yet, there are many times in life where I would say it very much to me appears that life happens, that God is not pawning us like a chessboard to dictate everything that we do. And, you know, that this is an age-old mystery that won't be resolved in this life as far as understanding God's sovereignty, God's providence, and also man's free will and how they work together. And I don't go to either extreme other than to say that I do see God's hand at work and alive and well in mankind today. But I also see things that happen that it seems like it's man's will and it's evil, and just things happen, and we're all going to die as an example. And, you know, some die young, some die old, and it's just part of the journey of life. Everyone's died from, you know, the time of Jesus till now, everyone's died. And, you know, sometimes if we go too far with God's sovereignty, then when bad things happen, we think, oh, well, it must be God. So God is mean, or God is bad, or, you know, God took my mom from me, or my father from me, or whatever. We kind of blame whatever happens on the world on God, because after all, then if you come up with a really hard determinism that God is controlling everything, then you have to say, well, then God did it. And I just don't believe that that's the case. I think sometimes God, in his ability to decree or determine, chooses to just let life play out. And at other times, he takes a more direct approach. Exactly how that works, it's a mystery, and I don't know. But I think that allows for both. It allows for God's hand to move, like he is in the case of the Apostle Paul, one of the most critical leaders of the early church and writers of the Bible. You can see why God wanted to have a hand in where he went. And at times he has a hand in our lives as well. But I also don't believe we have to attribute everything that happens as God's determined plan. You may have a different view of that, but that's what I believe. I believe there's mystery. There's things we don't understand that God knows that we don't know. But here in this case, I take pleasure in seeing how God is working this all out to get Paul to Rome. So he is going to go to Caesar, but not quite yet. So now, when several days had elapsed, King Agrippa and Bernice arrived at Caesarea and paid their respects to Festus. While they were spending many days there, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, "There is a man who was left as a prisoner by Felix. And when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews brought charges against him, asking for a sentence of condemnation against him. I answered them that it is not the custom of the Romans to hand over any man before the accused meets his accusers face to face and has an opportunity to make his defense against the charges. So after they had assembled here, I did not delay, but on the next day took my seat on the tribunal and ordered that the man to be brought before me. When the accusers stood up and they began bringing charges against him of such crimes, when the accusers stood up, they began bringing charges against him, not of such crimes as I was expecting, but they simply had some points of disagreement with him about their own religion and about a dead man, Jesus, whom Paul asserted to be alive." Way to go, Paul. Isn't that awesome? This guy has no idea about Jesus, and Paul was telling him about Jesus and that Jesus rose from the dead. But this guy's like being at a loss how to investigate such matters. I asked whether he was willing to go to Jerusalem and there stand trial on these matters. But when Paul appealed to be held in custody for the emperor's decision, I ordered him to be kept in custody until I sent him to Caesar. So, you know, let's just pause there for a moment and say, couple things. There actually seems to be, at least in this guy's decision, an orderly way of handling criminal charges and being fair, and a person gets to defend themselves in court. And you know, our governmental system, they did look at the Bible and what the Bible has to say about fairness and justice. And this is the kind of thing that we have in America when it's done right. You know, you can make an accusation, but before someone's going to be pronounced guilty, they have a right to defend themselves in court. And, you know, here we see that. And yes, I do believe that we borrowed from the Bible to get our form of, you know, legal justice in America. I wish we would rely on the Bible more today, but here we can see some fairness. Now, isn't it interesting, though, back to God's sovereignty? You know, it's interesting that Jesus didn't get this, right? So when they put him on trial, you know, he didn't, they just said, crucify him. And Pilate said, okay, I wash my hands of this. But he let the Jews determine, essentially, Jesus's death. Now, Pilate had to agree, and I guess this guy, in a sense, had to agree, and he's not agreeing. He could probably say, I'm going to put Paul to death, but you know, they don't want to do what's wrong and then be held accountable by their leadership. But Pilate was willing to appease the Jews. And there's some history that, you know, Pilate and a lot of these guys were under pressure because they didn't want riots and they didn't want the Jews saying they were, you know, not leading well. So at sometimes they tried to appease the Jews so that they wouldn't get criticized. But it's interesting that God wanted Jesus to die on a cross for us. And sure enough, that's the decision that was made. And here, God wants Paul to go to Rome. And sure enough, that's the decision that's going to end up getting made. So in these circumstances, you can definitely see God's, you know, plan unfold. You know, I've shared an illustration in the past that I'll share briefly now regarding God's sovereignty. And I'm not really a hockey fan, to be honest, but, you know, I've lived on this planet for, you know, over 50 years, so I've seen hockey games and in person, on TV, whatever. Back in the day, they used to let them fight a lot more. You recall that? They'd let them take, you know, they'd let them box a little bit in on the ice, and now they tend to cut it off a lot quicker. But, you know, in the hockey rink, the referee out there is in charge, and he can call fouls, and they're there to also break up these fights. But back in the day, even though they were in charge, sometimes they'd let those guys duke it out for a while. And that's how I envision God's sovereignty, is that he is in charge, but sometimes he steps back and lets us face the consequences of our decisions. And, you know, the Bible even says that sometimes, that, you know, based on what you do, you know, you're going to face either, you know, blessing or cursing. And sometimes God just says, okay, go ahead, see how you're going to live. Are you going to live according to me, or are you going to live according to evil? And let's see what happens. And many times it works out that way, that if you do evil, you're going to face the consequences of doing evil. And if you do good, you're going to reap the reward of doing good. And sometimes God just steps back and allows, you know, our decisions to shape the consequences of those decisions. He still can be in charge, but he's like the referee who stepped back. And I think sometimes that's the way that God operates. But again, that's all a mystery. So moving on then, Festus is going to let Agrippa hear Jesus, and we're getting close to that. So verse 23, so on the next day when Agrippa came together with Bernice amid great pomp and entered the auditorium, imagine that setting, Paul, you know, with people around him, these kings before him essentially, and accompanied by the commanders and the prominent men of the city, at the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. Festus said, King Agrippa and all you gentlemen here present with us, you see this man about whom all the people of the Jews appealed to me, both at Jerusalem and here, loudly declaring that he ought not to live any longer. They wanted him dead. But I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and since he himself appealed to the emperor, I decided to send him. Yet I have nothing definite about him to write to my lord. Therefore, I have brought him before you all, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after the investigation has taken place, I may have something to write, for it seems absurd to me in sending a prisoner not to indicate also the charges against him. So, another cliffhanger here. We end at chapter 25, and now Paul is going to once again be before another king, and he's going to get a chance to share his testimony once again. What a glorious thing that'll be. And then to Rome he shall be sent. So I hope today you may have learned something in wrestling with understanding how God's determined plan works, and yet how he sometimes steps back. I think it's an important thing to come to grips with, and it can give us greater peace, I think, what I've shared in living this life. When things happen that just don't make sense, sometimes maybe we just can't see the plan of God, and maybe it'll be revealed to us later. Or maybe sometimes just life happens. God's taken his hands off and allowed us to live, and sometimes bad things happen in this life that we won't make sense of on this earth. And I think to me, that helps me to understand God and not hold him accountable for every bad thing that happens either. So I hope that helped you, and I look forward to seeing you here, you know, with you again on chapter 26. God bless you all.